Well, summer 2020 just did not really work out as we had put it on paper. Now, did it? This summer, I was supposed to be heading out to the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, cover my 11th Olympics for Hearst Television. And I look forward to all the games. I really do. I love traveling the world for the company and getting to follow athletes all over the place. But this one was just special because Tokyo is so special. Tokyo, from the beginning, has had its act together and the venues were done and it was just going to be smooth and exciting, and I love sushi and sake, and then coronavirus. So, everything as of right now is shifted to next summer. Is that going to happen? I don't know. They're not asking me for my opinion on it. But I do know that it's left thousands of athletes around the world kind of spinning their wheels for the last couple of months. And while all of these athletes would agree that there was no way to do an Olympic safely, that coronavirus really took over all of our lives, it's been hard for a lot of athletes who quite honestly know that they may not have another shot next summer. Or maybe they will. It's living a life in limbo as an athlete that is a little bit different than the rest of us. I mean, we're all living in a limbo, but theirs is a limbo that maybe they might not be able to turn around because for a lot of athletes, everything is about timing. It's about peaking as an athlete. It's about being the right age at the right time with the right amount of talent ready to perform. And it may be for some that next summer is too late. And that's what's really, I think, been very heartbreaking thinking about this upcoming Olympics and the one that we have had to, shelve for a while. So I wanted to check in with Kim Conley. She is a 5,000 meter runner out of Northern California who has been to two Olympics. And I've covered Kim for years. I just adore her. I see her out on the trails all the time. She actually trains very close to where I live. And so it's just always been really fun to see her process because she is extraordinarily methodical. She's very disciplined in the way she approaches life. And she has, for the last couple of months, carried on as if competition will resume. And I follow her on Instagram every day, and she's been down in Arizona doing altitude camp for months with her husband and coach, Drew. And she just has had this really great attitude because from the beginning, when this all broke in March, she was the first to say, "We can't do an Olympics." And so I wanted to check back in with her now that we're actually at the time when we all should have been getting on planes and going and see how she doing and how she hanging in there. And no surprise, Kim is weathering it. Kim is in incredible shape because she never did stop working out. And she's looking ahead cautiously to next summer and hoping that things get back on track. So as we mourn this summer's Olympics, maybe me more than others, I hope you'll also hear the optimism and the practicality that's in Kim's voice as she figures out what she can do instead of what she can't do. Here's Kim Conley on Dying to Ask.
My name is Deirdre Fitzpatrick. I'm a TV news anchor, a mom of two boys, a wife, a runner, a total book nerd, and I can't stop asking questions, like ever. I'm obsessed with knowing how do people do things? How do they go from idea to reality? I call it the art of the follow-through, and these are the questions I'm dying to ask.
Well, Kim, this is not exactly what I thought we would be doing this week. I'm going to be honest. I thought there might be some
I
sushi,
know.
some sake, something going on.
Exactly.
Little weird. How is it for athletes, hitting this stretch? I mean, I know everybody's had such a good attitude about, things that had to happen happened and all that stuff. But that said, when you turn the calendar and you see things penciled in, sometimes it stings a little harder as reality set in. So what's it been like from an athlete's point of view this summer?
Yeah, I think in general, like I'll speak for myself, but I'll speak from what I've been feeling out from other athletes too. We're actually kind of tired. It's it's
Oh
been
my gosh, you're
hard.
speaking for humanity right now.
Okay, fair enough. But I mean, it's been hard. It was hard to lose the Olympics and the Olympic trials, even though we knew like it all made sense and it was actually kind of what I think we all wanted at the time because, it wasn't going to be a normal lead up and all that. And so we were hoping that by postponing for a year, we'd get kind of the normal experience. But then since then, it's like, I've just like kind of kept hoping that maybe I would get to race eventually, like maybe at the end of August or maybe in September, maybe in November. And slowly races have just been, you know, canceled one after the other. And yeah, it was just, you know, kind of in the last week, coinciding with now, this is when we were hoping to be at the Olympics. It's just feeling like the year's got away. And yeah, it's just kind of tiring to keep getting your hopes up and then have it not pan out.
Yeah. And, you know, I joked, you speak for humanity, but I feel like right now that is kind of a pervasive feeling for a lot of people, whether you're an Olympic athlete or hopeful, or if you're just a middle-aged mom, you know, like me, you know, it's been a long time and it's kind of grinding. I guess the one good thing you've had going for you the last couple of months is that your sport was one that you could continue doing. You know, I've really been thinking a lot about people who are on some of these team sports, or who need very specific equipment to be able to compete, and how additionally difficult this must have all been.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, to be a distance runner and just to be able to, and especially where I am right now, we've been based in Flagstaff, Arizona since March, came for an altitude camp. And then shelter in place orders went into effect and everything changed and we've just stayed. But we can go out and run on very remote forest roads. You know, it's actually pretty rare that I'm on a popular enough trail that I, you know, feel like I should put a mask on, because mostly I never see another human while I'm out running. And then the other factor is that
you're kind of made for quarantine, by the way.
I know. I've thought that a lot.
I mean, other than the competition, has anything really changed that much?
No,
nope. I know.
I'm just in the last like week or two, I've started to think like, well, it would be nice to like have a friend over for dinner, to like go out for a meal. But mostly for the last 4 months, I've been fine.
Yeah. You know, I'm totally getting off topic, probably because I'm enjoying talking to a friend, but I interviewed the psychologist a while back and he was just talking about how isolation is affecting everybody. And his comment that made me crack up was, even the introverts are dying to be extroverts. Like, I get that.
Yeah, yeah.
I totally exactly. get it. So you've been in Arizona the whole time. Did you mm-hmm. just keep to a training schedule without having stuff on the calendar? Like, how did you and your husband Drew decide to approach this when it became clear that this was going to go on?
My training in the last few years has been a little bit limited, just kind of, well, to put it bluntly, like navigating in a little bit of an older body. But, you know, I was just dealing with niggles all the time. And so I hadn't really been able to feel like I was training at full capacity. And then in 2020, that I've really turned a huge corner. And so we decided to make the most of it. And we've really actually kind of stretched me in training in a way I haven't been able to do in years. So I've been doing a lot of long runs and a lot of long workouts and really enjoying getting stronger again. So in that regard, it's been good for me.
Mm-hmm. How have you guys kept in touch with other athletes and just with, you know, the sports governing bodies and that kind of thing? Is there communication that has been coming from the USOPC to keep everybody kind of up to date on what's happening?
Yeah, the USOPC has actually been sending out weekly emails since March to athletes to they call it their, I can't remember what they call it, their COVID-19 report. You know, it's something that is just kind of like,
super upbeat.
Like, yeah, no, but it's like, we're on this and, right. you know, we're monitoring it all the time and trying to keep you guys informed. So that's good. And then in terms of other athletes, I'm just texting people all the time, you know, people that are like actually my competitors. And now I'm realizing like, I just miss you guys. So, you know, it's just like, hey, Molly Huddle, like, how are you doing? I don't know when we're going to see each other again. Cause yeah. it's just like, suddenly I'm like, oh man, like, you know, I feel like so many of my friends are people that I don't live anywhere close to. And we just see each other on the circuit all the time. And so now that's all gone.
You hopefully see them while you're passing them. On the track. You know, it's interesting. It's like, just as you say that, I was thinking like how regimented a lot of us get into the calendar. You know, we monitor the seasons, the times of year, the holidays, the big events. If you have kids, you're tied to a school year. And for athletes, you're tied to a competition schedule, and especially in that Olympic year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So for example, My last season break was after the Pan Am Games last summer. So that was end of August, early September. And now I'm like, when do I take a break? Like, you know, I don't, it would make sense to take it sometime soon, like maybe when the Olympics would have been over, or mm-hmm. or when it's been a year since my last break. But with no, like, with no peak to the season, it just feels a little bit confusing. Like, I don't know when makes sense.
That's really interesting, because usually it's kind of like, you feel like you got to earn it, like you've crossed some big competition or milestone off the chart, and then it makes sense to the rest of the body and the mind. But yeah, you're right, we're all kind of in that uncharted territory. Like, there's no blueprint for this.
Yeah. No,
I need a book. Well, we're both book nerds. Like, I need a book to tell me what to do.
I know.
Maybe I guess I'll have to write this one. Hopefully that never needs to be read again. So what are you hearing in terms of competition for next year? Because as we know it right now, there's an Olympics next summer. But the thing that I keep looking at is, how do you have an Olympics if you don't have ways to qualify athletes? And right now, I'm not seeing anybody getting to compete. So what's happening within track and field with that?
Well, I don't know yet. As of right now, the Olympics are on the schedule for next summer, and the Olympic trials are on the schedule for next June. But like you say, yeah, it's impossible to predict right now. And especially in the United States, track and field is intricately tied to, the collegiate system. So who knows what's going to happen with college sports, or, you know, or even just people getting to go, you know, have normal school years. So it's really hard to say. Like, I think, you know, up in Eugene, so Eugene is where the Olympic trials are to be held next June. And they had originally postponed one of their big Diamond League meets, the Prefontaine Classic, to be in October of this year. And then it was the University of Oregon that was like, whoa, no, we're not having a major event on campus in October. So that got canceled. And so, you know, it's like there's so many like factors at play that can even allow a big event to take place. So we'll see. It's really hard to know. I think my biggest fear would be that if the Olympics go on, but in the U.S. we can't hold a normal Olympic trials, then USATF could conceivably just select a team, you know, whoever they wanted, or like based off a descending order list. And that scares me, because that, you know, then you're kind of subject to, did you get a race opportunity at some point? And some of the groups, like the Bowerman Track Club up in Portland, they've been hosting their own little personal meets right now because they have a big enough training group that they can
explain what they're doing. Because I saw this on Instagram and I see all these people saying, I just broke a record, and they're running with a mask. I'm like, what record are you breaking if like not everybody is there? I don't understand it. So what is it that they've been up to?
Well, USATF set up some pretty like stiff protocol if you wanted to host a meet this summer. It involves getting tested twice, and in, you know, limited number of people on the track. And I can't remember all the factors, but there was a lot, you know. It made it fairly prohibitive for someone to host a meet, which I completely understand. Like, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want to get coronavirus. So,
no,
you know, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like go put myself in a, you know, a situation that's dangerous, but, yeah. So Bowerman Track Club, they basically have like hit all the criteria to get a USATF sanctioned meet. And they have a big enough and talented enough team that they can keep it entirely into the bounds of their team. So it's basically like a team time trial, but it is a USATF certified meet. And so they set the American 5,000 meter record there.
Well, I'm putting air quotes on that, because that just doesn't, I don't understand that. I really don't. But I think you should hold your own little meet there in Arizona on some afternoon when you're just killing it, and call it. Put it on Instagram, because that seems to legitimize it. We'll call it a day.
Oh, man.
But that is interesting. But you do bring up a good point, because one of the heartbreaking, but one of the very cool things about the system that we have in the U.S. is because we are so deep in athletic talent that we hold the trial system. So it's like an Olympics within the Olympics before you even get there.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes it so exciting and compelling. And the idea that, you know, track, USA track and field, or, you know, you name the sport, would just hand picked, would make us like a lot of other countries that we've always said we didn't want to be like as an Olympic organization.
Yeah, exactly. That I think that would be a really disappointing outcome, because the Olympic trials are so special. It's like I've been to two Olympic Games, but my like favorite memories are actually from the Olympic trials.
Certainly your best race photos are.
Fair enough.
You've got some awesome killer race photos from those trials. So, I mean, do you feel like this, you know, 2020, possibly in 21 Olympics, will it always be like a Games, assuming it happens, that always has an asterisk after it because of all the weirdness that would have led up to it?
Yeah, I mean, unless something really radical changes in the next like 6 months, and we could just have a completely normal spring where all the colleges are hosting their normal invitationals, and you know, like it's like 2020 disappears and 2021 begins just like normal life, which I think you and I both know it's just not going to be the case.
Unlikely. But then again, Kim, on January 1st of this year, things were looking pretty good. So life can change on a dime.
Until there's a vaccine, I can't imagine an Olympics going off like with spectators, for example, and that wouldn't be the Olympics in my mind. So.
Yeah. I mean, it really would seem so incredibly different.
Yeah.
So different. So what do you do to stay motivated these days? I mean, I see you on Instagram. I mean, you're going through your daily suffer fest, just killing it. What have you learned about motivation when you don't have the competition on the calendar and kind of that carrot dangling in front of you?
I've really discovered in the last few months how much I love to run and love to push myself. And so I've just started really throwing myself into some of the workouts, and not because I'm trying to prepare for a specific race, but just because I love that feeling of working hard and feeling really satisfied the rest of the day. And I would almost go as far to say, like, in the absence of racing, I need those workouts, because usually races are the thing that that make me feel really kind of give me that afterglow effect of just feeling like, oh, I laid it all out there and now I feel good that I did that. And I haven't been able to do that in months. And so, it's been important for me to like do some really long runs or just some really hard workouts where I get a little bit of that feeling.
What's a typical day like these days?
Very similar to normal life. You know, I mean, normal life involves a lot more traveling and competing. It's like I've been in a very, very long altitude camp, basically. So training twice a day usually, and just kind of laying low and doing a lot of reading in between.
Sounds pretty good, actually. just throw in a little more competition, probably be a perfect summer.
Yeah.
Have you, do you reach out much to other athletes, and how are they hanging in there?
Yeah. I think everybody's been riding similar waves, you know, just trying to make the most of it. I don't think there are any athletes that have been like, oh, I'm just so unmotivated right now. I think a lot of people are discovering the same things that I am, like, oh man, like I love the process and I love working hard and training hard, so like I'm still just like getting after it and training. But also, you know, as races disappear from the calendar, I think people like feel really disappointed. I know when New York canceled, that was hard for a lot of my friends. And then Chicago, certainly. And then just this week, USATF had been like kind of hoping to hold some form of a US championship since September. They'd been like dangling that out, you know, all year. And they just officially canceled that this week. So I think everybody keeps riding these little waves of like putting something on the calendar and like, well, I'm just going to train as if that might happen. And then it gets taken away and you have kind of experience a new low.
I feel like we should just put a calendar out of what's still happening. Like, stop talking about everything that's canceled. Go, here's the list of things we're still going to do.
Yeah.
It'd be a short list.
I know. What CIM? What else?
We haven't heard anything on CIM yet. Yeah. That's in December. So, you know, a decision will have to be made, you know, eventually. But, you know, we'll see. Crossing fingers on that.
Yeah.
What are you hearing from athletes in terms of financially trying to stay in for another year? Because we always talk about, you know, timing is everything. And for a lot of athletes, you know, you live by the calendar, but you also live by a lot of other realities. And for a lot of people, it's economic realities. Do you hear of people saying, you know, I just don't know that I've got another year to be able to do this, or I was planning on transitioning to, you know, fill in the blank after that? What are the challenges that a lot of athletes are facing right now?
Yeah, it really varies. But it's really hard for some people. And it's made me realize how lucky I am to be in the situation I'm in with New Balance, because, you know, there's no threat to like my income. Obviously, all prize money and appearance fees that, you know, I might have gotten this year, those are out the window. So like overall is there a financial impact? Certainly, but not like some other athletes. I've been hearing some crazy things this week about some sprinters that are they're like putting together these little meets with just like off distances, and some of them are even jogging like 250 meter race because they're contractually obligated to race 10 times in a year, otherwise they could get cut. And so they're kind of like figuring out a way to game that system, but man, it's kind of silly. Yeah. And I think personally, I think looks bad to be like flying to Texas to do that. I mean,
right,
it's not, yeah, not,
although if they're jogging right, it I might want to get myself into it. I might actually stand a chance on one of those. But that is, you're right, it is kind of crazy that that's, yeah, kind of where people feel they are right now, to feel like they can try to hang in there.
Yeah, well, and what's hard is you know, I think probably all the shoe companies, certainly some more than others, like they're facing huge financial impacts, you know, just like from the economy right now. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that are worried that that's going to like trickle down to athletes, and that companies will try to save money by cutting or reducing athletes. And so like I say, there's a lot of chatter about that. And I'm like, whew, I am so lucky that I'm with New Balance and that is not how they operate.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you do a lot of great messaging for them. And I'm curious to know what has been your message with some of that community in terms of maintaining a positive attitude through this tough time, because a lot of people have turned to the sport of running just trying to get through.
Yeah,
it's like this whole running boom again, because people couldn't find something else to do. You know?
Yeah, I know. Well, and that's what's funny about that is, in my own way, I've experienced that. You know, it's like, okay, there are no races, so I'm just gonna like throw myself into these 2-hour runs, and I've started. You know, we've been exploring these fire roads out in northern Arizona that are just like way more challenging and further afield than we would ever normally venture in a normal, like, you know, if we were getting ready for the Olympics, like,
no,
we're
way,
like very purposeful. Yeah, we don't take
there's
any
a
risks.
Rock, I'm not running over that.
Exactly. So right. I mean, I think I've also kind of like felt that same spirit that other people have felt, where it's like, well, one thing we can do is like get outside and like, you know, explore new places and have fun.
Yeah, when you see all the new runners, they're pretty easy to spot because they're wearing Reeboks from like 20 years ago that they pulled out of like the closet. Do you ever have to fight the urge to say, yeah, no, if you did your arms like this, or you just try to smile and encourage them?
You know, yeah, exactly. Just say hi.
What would you say about the Olympic process, having been to 2 Olympics, has prepared you to kind of roll with all these changes? Because I would think if this was your first Olympics, this might not, you might not have the mental maturity to be able to kind of ride this out and to look for those moments. What would you say about having gone through that process already twice before, and as an underdog early on, made you able to handle this?
I mean, I think part of it is just that, you know, if something happened tomorrow and I could never run again, I would still be really happy with my career. I mean, certain, you know, don't get me wrong, there are still things I want to do. I'm not about to retire, but I can also like be really happy, and I have those great memories from qualifying for the Olympic teams and having gone and experienced the Olympics. And I feel really bad for the athletes that are poised to make their first team, and or let alone the marathoners that just made their first team and then might not even go at all. I think that would be so hard, you know, and so I'm grateful that I've, you know, I do have that experience already, and I've got, you know, I am an Olympian, but, you know, I still hope that there's a third one. That's the goal.
No, absolutely. What advice would you pass along to other people who maybe don't have an Olympic dream, but who maybe are kind of having a harder time right now? Like we were saying earlier in this, it's been a long time. And I sense it in people around me these days who are kind of gung-ho, like, you know, I'm gonna do my online yoga and I'm gonna go out and hit the trail. And now the sameness of life has become kind of challenging. Plus you add in a lot of the economic realities that our country is starting to face. What kinds of encouragement would you offer people, like in terms of kind of digging deep and finding your own personal resilience or your own personal challenges to get through?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. And I think, so I guess that's where I'd start is like, yeah, you're not alone. Like everybody is. And for me, you know, I just try to like see all the positives I have going for me. I can appreciate where I am. I can appreciate that, you know, like we were kind of joking about earlier, like my life isn't that effective. You know, it's been the longest altitude camp of my life and way longer than I ever anticipated doing, but at least I can just pretend I'm in this endless altitude camp. I think, you know, when I look around and I see the hardships that other people are going through, then it at least like allows me to kind of see, like focus on the positives that I have going for me.
It's a good reminder. What other new goals have popped up? I mean, you're doing a lot of running. So I know we've always talked about marathon being kind of out there eventually. Mm-hmm. Have you moved that up at all? Or have you thought about maybe switching to trails or any of that? Since you're spending all that time in the dirt.
Yeah, I would say that. Like really the kind of the most complicating factor in all this for me in terms of how I foresee the rest of my career is I wanted to make the Olympic team on the track this year. I still really want to break 15 in the 5,000. Like I have track goals, but then I fully intended to transition to the marathon and spend the next 4 years focused on the marathon. And so now we've already like cut a year of that off. And then if a track season doesn't happen next year also, then I'm like, I don't know what to do because I still have these track goals, but I also like, I'm itching to move up to the marathon and you know, and like I've said, we've done this huge base of strength this year, taking advantage of the time to really like run longer than I ever have before. So yeah, the marathon's out there and now I'm just not quite sure about the timing.
Yeah, well, that's 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
Figuring out the timing on all of it. Okay, switching gears just real quickly, there HBO's got this new documentary that's coming out, and it's about looking at really well-known big-name athletes who've gone through the Olympics, but like re-examining after they won a gold medal, a silver medal, some of the mental health issues they had following an Olympics, you know, whether it was from the loss of the rigorous schedule or from the training or too much attention, too little attention, that kind of thing. But it's really interesting. They were talking about how it's a really common thing for Olympians after a games to kind of go through a funk. And I'm not an Olympian, but I have covered a lot of Olympics. And I totally get that. When you spend that much time ramping up to something, then all of a sudden it's over, there is that part that's really hard to deal with. And I can't help but think that the last couple of months has also been like that for athletes as well, because they also have had a loss of something that they never even technically got to have. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's something that's also going through a lot of American athletes' minds these days?
Yes, although as long as the Olympics are on the schedule, I think everybody just kind of like shifts their focus by 1 year. If the Olympics get canceled, then there's going to be a huge fallout for people, myself included. I mean, because that's like, you know, like I said in the beginning, like the Olympics give you that like intense sense of purpose every day. And so once that's gone, that's really hard. But yeah, I can totally relate to the post-Olympic funk. I remember in 2012 almost yelling at Drew after my break, like, 2 weeks ago I was an Olympian, and I was just so mad that I was out of shape, and like, and I felt like I was so far from where I'd been, and it was just like I was like freaking out because I'd like gone to this new level, and then I was like, I don't know how I'm ever going to get back, and it's just like it's a weird experience.
It's very and very normal, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
And very, very normal. Well, let's hope that you get right back there this time next summer, and that we get some normalcy back into the world of Olympic sports and into all of our lives in general. So what's the plan? What happens here for the rest of the summer?
We're going to return to Sacramento because the altitude camp does need to come to an end. We need to go check on our house. So yeah, we're going to return to Sacramento. And then I guess, you know, at some point I'll take a break, and then, we'll begin a new buildup as if, the Olympic trials and the Olympics are going to go on next year.
You just put that calendar back together.
Yep.
Or you could throw your own meat. Apparently I didn't realize that was an option. You and I, we could race. There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, thank you so much for joining today. We appreciate it. I can't let you go without asking you what you're reading right now.
Oh, it's called Why We Run.
Oh, that's appropriate.
Yeah, it's really good. It's by a zoologist. So it's kind of like, it's a little bit part memoir, but a lot of it about studying different animals and then correlating them to what type of runner they would be. A lot of them are ultra marathoners.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, it's because they're all running in the dirt.
But yeah, some pretty crazy, I've learned some really interesting tidbits. Like there's birds that have a VO2 max of like 500. A human is, you know, an elite human is like around 70.
Wow.
I know. So it's a pretty nerdy book, but it's right up my alley.
Oh my God, that's so up here. I'm surprised you didn't write it. You should. So it's a good way for everybody to keep in touch with you these days and in the next couple of months as we try to get a calendar back together for athletes.
Oh, definitely Instagram. I'm posting almost every day there. It's KF Conley, and I always answer all my messages on Instagram. So that's the best way.
That's very good. Those are like pandemic goals for me to get on that. All right, Kim, thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Doesn't she just have the best attitude? Just like carry on. Just go ahead and keep on running, one foot in front of the other, and hopefully it gets you to where you're hoping to go. So as of right now, the Olympics are rescheduled, and they are scheduled for next summer, July 23rd through August 8th. So virtually the same schedule as we would have had this summer. And at this point, they're really just trying to figure out how that's going to work. And there are a lot of big discussions that are happening, not only in Tokyo, but with Olympic committees around the world, as they try to figure out what a qualification schedule could look like, what it should look like, and what's possible or even probable for Tokyo next summer. So as of right now, crossing fingers and hoping that things happen as they're supposed to happen. But man, these are hard decisions. You think it's hard getting like your kids' sports back on track? Try getting an Olympics back together for the world. It's not an easy thing. But 2020 hasn't been an easy year, and that's just kind of how it is. In the meantime, here's one idea for you. I've been watching a lot of the Olympic Channel, and if you have access to it on your cable system or maybe through one of your streaming services, it is so worth checking out. It's an opportunity to watch Olympics of yesteryear, some more recent than others, and it's actually really fun to see all these people that maybe you've forgotten about over the years and to relive it. And sometimes it's funny, sometimes I'll be watching it with the kids and I know who's going to win in these races and we still get lost and caught up in all the excitement. So if you're having a craving for some Olympics this summer, you need that fix, give it a chance. The Olympic Channel, they've got some really cool programming going on. In the meantime, thanks to everybody who's been leaving a review for Dying to Ask. Wherever you listen to your podcast, there's usually a quick and easy way to leave a rating or a review, and that is what helps us grow the podcast. So I do appreciate everybody who's taken a moment to do that. Thanks for listening this week, and I'll see you next time on Dying to Ask.